This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
And we welcome you to this edition of Tuesday People, the podcast. I'm your host, Mitch Albom. I am the author of the book, Tuesdays with Maury. That's the inspiration for this podcast, which has now been going for 4+ years already. Lisa Goich is the producer of the program for all that time and my friend for even longer of that time. And she joins us here. Lisa?
Oh, boy, how that time has flown, let me tell you. Yeah. I can't even believe it's 5 years. I mean, this is our fifth season.
Wow. So.
Yeah, it's our fifth season.
Well, I'm surprised we haven't done what I'm going to talk about today yet in this. I've been thinking the last several podcasts were rather serious. You know, last week I talked about the situation in Haiti at our orphanage, the Have Faith Haiti mission and orphanage. And obviously, it's a very scary situation, and a lot of people were concerned, and we shared that. And there have been a number of sort of heavier topics. I want to lighten it up a little bit today in recalling that. A big part of the relationship that I had with Maury and the time that I spent with Maury was based on food. Food. When I first went to go visit Maury, the very, very first time, for whatever reason, he had told me about, you know, I remembered the things that he had liked to eat. I should take it back to college. When I was in college with Maury, he was my college professor, obviously. For all 4 years, I took every course he offered. So there wasn't a semester, I don't think, that I wasn't taking a Maury course or doing a Maury project or something like that. So we spent a lot of time together and we would eat together. Maury would meet me in the cafeteria and we would, you know, kind of catch up on things.
Ah.
Yeah. And so it was there that I discovered that Maury had a rather unique trait that he loved to speak. And he loved to effuse, you know, very passionate. He was always very passionate, but he would not stop his eating in order to do this. Oh. So he would eat these egg salad sandwiches and, you know, in the middle of chewing them, he would be telling me about life and the meaning of life and don't worry about your grades and follow your heart and be passionate about what you do. But he would sometimes forget to chew. And these little yellow projectiles would come flying out of his mouth, little pieces of egg salad. And I would be like shifting, moving around, trying not to get hit, you know, move my head from side to side. And so that was a first, you know, food memory that I had with Maury. And I did not understand back then the point that I'm going to be making to you now, which is that food is an absolute icebreaker for relationships, and one of the single best things that you can do to knock down the barriers that exist between two parties or exist because of something that happened or an incident or emotions or things like that. It is a great way to get strangers to know one another, and it is a great way for people who already know one another to get to know each other better or to talk about something that's very important that they haven't been able to talk about. So for Maury and I, it began with food and meetings over food. And I knew that he was a foodie, not a high-end foodie, a I love the things I love foodie.
I love food in general foodie.
Yeah, yeah. And the stuff I love, I really love. And so I went to this place called Bread and Circus, which was a kind of a co-op sort of, if I remember correctly, very kind of like now what a Whole Foods would be or a Plum Market or something like that. You know, a lot of healthy foods, a lot of foods that you could get scooped into containers, you know, pint containers, or half-quart containers, whatever, to go. So I would pick up a few things. And I started in our first meetings, and I began to do it regularly because he got so excited. I got him hummus, eggplant salad.
Ooh,
he liked a lot
it.
Of that Mediterranean stuff.
I love it.
And as I realized, you know, that he had trouble chewing things, you know, at first I got him some things with chunks of chicken, and then I watched how he would struggle to eat when I would visit with him. And in my mind, I made a mental note, okay, can't get anything with
no
chunks
more
in it that's too hard. Get things that are more, like hummus and tabbouleh and soft things like that. You could get. So I would bring it to him every week. I would bring him a bag of food every week, and he would get so excited. He'd say, oh, great, great, great. And, you know, the first week or two, we ate some of it. But after that, he would say, all right, well, you're bringing so much. Just put it, you know, put it in the fridge, or give it to Charlotte. She'll put it in the fridge. Give it to Charlotte. She'll put it in the fridge. So that's what I did. I gave it to Charlotte, and she would put it in the fridge. And all this time, I, of course, figured that he was eating it, you know, in between the times I would come visit to him. It's something that became a topic of conversation for us that I'm going to play for you now, which was really kind of cute and funny if you listen to us talking. It started when I was putting a microphone on Maury for our tape recordings, and he would always wear these little pajama tops, like soft tops. And whenever I would try to put the mic on, it wouldn't really hold up because it would just flop over, and I would have to lean in. And I always remember that when I would lean in to adjust his mic, I'd get very close, you know, to his cheek, and he would smile, you know, and I'd say, I think sometimes you do this so that I basically have to kiss you.
Right.
Every time I have to adjust the microphone, he said, maybe, you know, maybe. So it starts with this, but listen to this little conversation here. It starts with the little microphone adjustment. These days when I get this microphone, I'm going to get a shirt to stay up.
I don't have much voice.
You need to put much more starch in your collar.
Right. What starch on my back?
Starch in your back, your collar, your neck.
All right.
I bought you a ton of food. I bought you so much food now that Charlotte actually got a little upset with me. She said, you got to stop bringing this much food because we don't have enough room in the refrigerator for it. She said, nobody's eating it.
It's true.
But I bought you some soup and some... baba ganoush and some hummus and all some soft stuff.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right.
Some easy stuff to get down.
Right.
So, you know. Right, I know you're into the puree. You're into the purees, you know.
Right. It gets harder and harder. Mm. Eat the solid food. Because I'm not swallowing as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, I eat a lot of soups. Which help in terms of not too much swallowing.
So are they limiting you in terms of type of food that you can eat, like spicy or meat or?
I can't eat spicy.
Or anyway. Digestible or anything like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, well, I know what my limits are anyway. Mm. That's what I'm limited to.
You get a hankering every now and then for a certain type of food that you haven't had in a while.
Yeah.
Like what?
Tongue.
Tongue? Oh my God. Oh my God, I can't believe it. That's what you get. Oh. I hate that food. I can eat anything. That's disgusting.
Well, I'm sorry.
That's what you get a hankering for? Why don't you say like a pecan pie or something like that?
I have a hankering for that.
God, tongue. You didn't just think that up as a joke, did you? Oh, I'm nauseous now. You're making me sick.
How about knishes?
Knishes, well, all right, knishes.
You think that, all right?
So, yeah, tongue was the thing that Maury missed the most eating, which if you've ever, it's cow's tongue, those of you who haven't tried it. And
yeah,
those of
my
you
mom,
who haven't, you're not going to want to.
My mom was a fan of that. The tongue and the jello stuff. What's that called? You know, there's like, it's, you put it in gelatin, but it's sort of like there's tongues in it. And then there's like other organs. I can't, I have to think of the name of it, but my mom loves that stuff. Blech.
Yeah, there's a lot of people from the old country, from Eastern Europe, you know, they ate a lot of that stuff. It literally was
a tongue. Like when you saw it.
Yeah, it was a tongue. It looked like a tongue. It
literally looked like a tongue.
Yeah, yeah. Maury loved that. Yeah. Absolutely. I totally agree with you.
You should not lick something that can lick you back.
That's right. Anything that used to be licking, you shouldn't be licking.
No.
Because you don't know where that tongue has been.
No.
And you don't want to know where that tongue has been. So one of the ironies about the food for Maury and I, it became a big discussion piece every time I would walk in. He'd say, oh, you bought food. Yeah. What do you got? You know, I love that. Oh, yeah. And it would always kind of set the mood for our conversation. Then I'd put it aside or I'd give it to Charlotte. Maybe 3 or 4 weeks before Maury died, maybe a little longer. I bought the food in, and he said, oh, you bought food. Great. And I said, just leave it in the kitchen. So I went to the kitchen to give it to Charlotte or one of the nurses, but there was nobody there. So I decided I would just put it in the fridge myself. And I opened the fridge and it was kind of crowded. So I thought, well, I'll open the freezer. I'll just put it in the freezer. It'll hold, you know, and I opened the freezer and it was stuffed with all this food that I had brought before. He hadn't been eating it for weeks. And I came back to him and I said, your freezer is full of all the bread and circus stuff that I bought. He said, yeah, I'm sorry you saw that. And I said, well, what's going on? I mean, I bring this to you every week. He said, well, I haven't been able to eat it. And I said, you haven't been able to eat it for how long? He said, well, for like a month, 2 months. And I said, well, why didn't you say something? He said, well, it brought you such joy to bring me the food. I didn't want to take it away from you.
So he allowed
me to continue to give him the food, even though he couldn't eat it.
I absolutely get that. I get that. Yeah. I just did that with a girlfriend of mine. She passed away 2 weeks ago now. And I went to go see her a few days before she passed away. And I asked her if she wanted me to bring anything over. And she said, oh, if you can stop at Chipotle and get some queso and cheese. I love that stuff. So we go and I got the rest of us who were visiting her all kinds of stuff. And she's like, just leave it there. She never ate anything. And I feel like it was a situation like yours. Maybe she just knew
it
would bring us joy. But meanwhile, I'm starving and I'm staring at these bags of food and I can smell it, right? I can smell all the stuff I brought. And I'm like, is it rude if I go over there and I grab my portion of the food, even if she doesn't want to eat her portion?
Is that what you did?
I did. And so, well, because one of the other girls did. So she went and I saw her eating her taco and I was like, oh, I'm going to go grab my taco. And then I asked our friend, I was like, do you want your queso and cheese now? She goes, no, I'll eat it later. And I'm sure, like what you're saying, she probably never ate it. You know what I mean? Well, she was there in spirit. She was eating in spirit.
Right. And that sense of participation for her or for Maury, I mean, it's something that I think goes back to when we're younger and what we associate food with. I know in my case, my family always ate together. Mm-hmm. And all of our discussions and all of our real family relations with one another was at the dinner table, always at the dinner table. And my father worked, and sometimes he got home late, but we would wait for him. You know, we were home 3 o'clock after school. We were ready to eat right then. Kids are always starving. But my mom said, no, we wait until my dad gets home, and we would wait, and then we would sit, you know, and everybody had to sit together, and nobody could leave the table until we all left the table, no matter when you finished eating. And that's where all the discussions took place.
Yep.
And that's where all the, you know, relationship building took place.
We'll be back with more Tuesday People right after this.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PIE, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Ladies and gentlemen.
What are you doing?
What do you mean?
Keep it simple.
I'm making the promo.
Just keep it simple. Just say, hey, we're the Brav Bros. Two guys that talk about Bravo.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we're the Brav Bros.
No.
Oh.
Dude. Stop with the voice. Keep it simple.
I've seen promos on TV, dude. This is how you get the fans engaged. This is how you get listeners. We're trying to get listeners here. If we just say, oh, we're two dudes that talk about Bravo, people are going to get tired of it already. We need some oomph.
All right, then fine. Let's try to do it with your voice.
Bravo Bros.
Good job.
Lauren, we are sisters.
That's true.
And we host a celebrity-obsessed podcast called Pop Apologists.
We also love Taylor Swift. Chandler, how are you managing to cope while we await Taylor's new album?
Look, I want to be put into a medically induced coma and wake up on April 19th, but I'm not sure my insurance is going to cover it.
Join us on our pop culture podcast, Pop Apologists, where we will be dishing on all things celebrity news and deep diving every word and note of Taylor's new album.
Pop Apologists.
Pop Apologists.
And so food is a deceptively excellent way of breaking down barriers. And I'm going to give you an example of something that we do here in Detroit, something that I came up with. Now, I'd like to take full credit for it, but I'm going to give credit where credit's due. I have been invited for years to this event in New York where I don't know who organized it, somebody rich and, you know, connected, but it was an event in New York where every month or two, they would invite various people. And I think they invited people who accomplished things, you know, who they admired or whatever in their own way. And they would invite them to a dinner in New York City. And the people would come and prepare the food. You were coming. I mean, they had a cook to instruct you, but you were there to cook the food. And you were there with maybe 12 other people, and you were not allowed to say your name. And you were not allowed to say, you could say your first name, but you couldn't say what you did. And you made the food together, and you talked to one another, but you were not allowed to say what you did for a living, you know, or any of that. And then after the meal was over, you ate together, you talked together, and after the meal was over, then people would sort of guess, you know, what it was that they thought that you did or something like that.
Ah, that's fun.
I never went to it. You know, I kept getting invited for years. I got invited. I said, I don't want to come into New York just to have a dinner with strange people. But I thought it was a cool idea. And in the summer of 2020, when the George Floyd incident took place and cities were exploding with violence and antagonism between the police and regular citizens. Mm-hmm. Here in Detroit, we wanted to try to avoid that at all costs. And I created a program called Better Together, where we had a man whose name is Darryl Woods, who had been in prison for 29 years for something that he did not do. And then was exonerated in one of those cases, you know, where someone comes forward later and admits that they did it or whatever type of thing. And he was let out. And instead of being bitter, he decided to get involved with helping others. And we hired him to run this program in which we, the very first one and all the ones that were subsequent were like this. We had a big grill out in the middle of the street in the summertime.
Oh,
big,
I giant bet this grill. Fun.
And we invited people to grill. Now, in Detroit, that's not uncommon. There's a lot of grilling that takes place out in the street
right.
in the summertime, barbecues and stuff like that. And this was a massive, like, truck grill kind of thing we had. And we invited police officers off duty, you know, plain clothes, and we invited gang members and people who were formerly incarcerated, whatever, but nobody knew that we were inviting the other one. And we asked them to come this grilling event. Of course, if you're offering, you know, grilled beef and lamb and pork and whatever, you're going to get people, you know? So we had good crowd, you know, 30, 40 people, half and half. And they just grilled together. They, you know, they just knew their first names. They grilled together. Everybody just thought they were kind of, it was a neighborhood thing and they were invited. And after they sat down and prepared the food, ate the food, were finished and were kind of going to dessert, then Daryl stood up and said, let's introduce everybody. You know, let's see who's who's. And he started going around. He said, what's your name? And he started with the people who were, you know, out of gangs or you know, previously incarcerated. They would say things like, you know, my name's such and such. I'm trying to get my life together. I just got out of the joint or I just did this or whatever. And then he'd go to the police officer. He said, what's your name? And said, well, my name's Ron. You know, what do? I work for the city. Oh, yeah? Well, what do you do when you work for the city? I'm a police officer. And when they say I'm a police officer, people would pop up and start to leave, you know. Right. And he would say, oh, no, sit down, sit down. And they stayed and they talked for hours about, you know, police and citizens and all the rest. And by the time it was done, they were hugging each other and exchanging cell phone numbers. And these people were saying, I've never had the cell phone number of a police officer. And the police were saying, well, of course we want you to call us. You know, if you see something bad happening, we want to know about it. And it brought people together. But the thing that brought them together was the food.
Yes.
It would not have happened without the food. The food was the great denominator. It you know, just standing around, you know, cutting pieces off of stuff or throwing it onto a grill or moving it around with a spatula or whatever, or a fork, throwing some onions on it. That was the act that brought them together. And then the eating of it, of course, they laughing and enjoying and eating. Everybody's in a better mood when they eat. So it was a key to bringing them together.
Well, you know what? It's the great icebreaker, right? You know, and it alerts all of your senses, right? So instead of just sitting in an empty room, like with nothing around you, your eyes, your nose, your taste buds, your ears, all of it are going.
Right.
So I think it's just sort of like sheds nervousness. And why do you think when people go on first dates, they always go out to eat?
Right.
Because
exactly.
That's the best place to be. Because if you have nothing to talk about,
you
shovel food in your mouth. Yeah. You don't
or you
have
can
to
always
talk.
Say, how's your salad? Oh, it's excellent. Yeah. Dressing is very nice, you know. And then you move on to the entree. How's your steak? You know, it's good. It's tender. You know, it's very, you have a built-in topic. But it does, it breaks down and it's been going on. And there's a reason that Thanksgiving was over a meal. You know, food is a great conversation starter. It's a great breaker of, you know, whenever I talk to the kids up at college, you know, it sometimes can be challenging because, you know, they got their own lives there and I'm of a certain generation and they're, you know, sometimes talking to college kids, everything's a one word answer. How's everything? Good. You know, our class is good. You know, how's life going? Good. But when I go, I always say, okay, let's go eat. And we start to eat. It's funny how they start on a chicken wing or a burger. And next thing you know, they're talking a little bit more. And so you've got college age kids or people you haven't seen in a while. Food is a great way to break it down. And it was something that Maury and I had together and was really a part of Tuesdays with Maury that doesn't get talked about a lot. And I'll end this little lesson about food with one of the favorite parables that I've known in my life about the difference between heaven and hell. And a man is visited by the angel of death and he says, you know, it's about time for you to go. And the guy says, well, can I see, you know, heaven and hell? You know, he says, well, yeah, okay, we'll let you see each of them. So he says, well, let me get the bad stuff out of the way first. Show me hell. So he's taken to hell and he sees in hell this long, long banquet table that goes as far as his eye can see. On the banquet table is every kind of meat and cheese and delicacy and delicious food, desserts, everything you can imagine. And seated at the banquet table are all the occupants of hell, all the people who have been sent there, and they're seated there at the table, but their arms are stuck straight out in front of them.
Oh.
And they can't move, they can't pull them back. And so the food remains forever underneath their arms and they don't eat. And he says, this is awful. You know, I mean, having all that food in front of you and you can't eat it, it's terrible. Show me heaven. So the angel takes him up to heaven. And in heaven, he sees a banquet table as long as his eye can see. The banquet table is covered with meats and cheeses and all the most delicious foods and all the desserts you could have. And all the occupants of heaven are sitting in chairs with their arms stretched out in front of them. The difference is that in heaven, they're feeding the person across from them.
Oh, I love that. So I love
that. Even in that parable, in heaven, there's food and you're making sure that the other person
you're
eats.
You're giving.
That's right. Oh. Which was what I did with Maury all that time and why he didn't want, I guess, to stop it, because it was a little piece of heaven between the two of us.
Yes, that's
so
sweet.
I encourage you to find that your own food version of heaven. With the people that you care about. And if there is someone who you're visiting who's sick or not doing so well, think about bringing food, you know, and think about, you know, opening it and sharing it and eating it. It's really quite special.
And, yes, definitely.
And so it's one of my fondest memories of Maury as I sit and think about it. So I'm getting hungry now, so I got to go.
I know, now I'm hungry and I haven't eaten yet today.
Yeah. But thank you for joining us, and we'll see you again. You can check out all of our previous shows at WeTuesdayPeople.com. Lisa Goetsch produces the program, and I thank her for that. And we look forward to talking to you again. Thank you for all your notes and kindness about Haiti. Again, if you want to help our orphanage in Haiti, it's HaveFaithHaiti.org on the web, HaveFaithHaiti.org. And until next time with Lisa Goetsch, this is Mitch Albom saying, see you next Tuesday.
Thank you for listening to Tuesday People. To be part of our conversation, join the Tuesday People community at WeTuesdayPeople.com. Subscribe to our podcast so you don't miss an episode and share it with your friends. We look forward to having you with us every Tuesday because, after all, we're Tuesday People.